You don't have Joe today. You have me, Donnie Football, with you for two more hours here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Filling in for Joe Starkey. Joe, a bit hoarse. Didn't sound great yesterday. I was a little bit worried about him driving in, listening to the show, and then just talking to him in the back as well, what he sounded like. And it turns out our pal, we just talked about it. He's not under the weather, but he's...
No, checked in with him yesterday. He just lost his voice.
We go back out to the fan hotline, and on that line is the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to your You Better You Bet for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcast. And if you're watching our video stream, our live YouTube video stream, you see Nick Kostos has joined us here. Nick, not the guy that you're used to talking to since Joe is out today. I'm just going to let you cook here a little bit, brother. The NFL, a full slate of games for week two. Some of your favorite matchups and things you're looking for on the betting lines.
Thanks for having me. Do you want me just to like run through a couple games? Do you want to like me to do the Steelers first? Like whatever you want me to do.
We can get to the Steelers last. So you can just run through a handful of games, you know, whatever you like best, you know, any line, you know, any total, whatever you want to do here.
Great. I'll give you my two favorite bets, and then Donnie, we can hit whatever games you want to roll to after that. Okay. I love the Giants this weekend on the road in Washington against the Commanders, and I'm a Giants fan from New York. I think my team is terrible. I think my quarterback's brutal. I kind of wish my head coach was fat again because skinny Brian Daboll absolutely stinks. So I don't like my team, but there can be no question that 2 through 53, at least on the roster, like Jaden Daniels is definitely better than Daniel Jones, but 2 through 53, the Giants are a lot better than Washington. And Malik Nabers, the Giants rookie electric first round wide receiver, he was cleared to play in this game. I think the Giants are going to overwhelm Washington's offensive line. Daniel Jones is going to play well enough to win this game. So bet number one, best bet number one, give me the Giants to win on the road in Washington. And my second best bet would be in the Raiders-Ravens game on Sunday in Baltimore. I think your audience will like this one. Baltimore is an 8.5-point favorite. I think the Ravens are likely to win the game. But we all watched the season opener against Kansas City, and this should surprise no one if you pay attention in the offseason. Baltimore lost 3/5 of its starting offensive line from Lamar's MVP season last year. So, of course, like the offensive line was not going to be as good. They were terrible against Kansas City. Lamar was running through his life. They ran a horizontal passing offense. It was absolutely pathetic. Like, what do we think is going to happen on Sunday when they have to try and protect against Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, and the Raiders pass rush? I think it's going to go really poorly. I think the Raiders keep this game close. So best bet number two, first one was the Giants to win on the road in Washington. Give me the Raiders plus the 8.5 to keep it close in Baltimore.
So that first one, Nick, funny enough, I produce the show in the afternoon that goes from 2 to 6, Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller. We do our picks every single week. We record them. We put them on our podcast page. We always have what we call a money ball pick. In the 6 games that we decide to pick, one of them is just any game we haven't done, it counts as double. So it's a 2-point game either way. Very funny that the first game you brought up was Giants and the Commanders. My money ball was taking the Commanders minus the points this week, and you immediately come in here and sledgehammer that
way. Listen, I don't have to be right. Like the Giants are terrible. Like you could be right about that. I mean, the other thing to consider, like the Commanders' entire offense last week was Jaden Daniels running the football. The Commanders head coach Dan Quinn is on record now saying, like, they can't keep doing that. He's not built like Josh Allen. Like, he's going to get hurt if they keep doing that. He had 16 carries last week, took a couple sacks. Also, like, Cliff Kingsbury's calling the offense. Very handsome, but oatmeal for brains. Keeps Terry McLaurin in the same spot, like, doesn't move him at all. This offense is going to be a train wreck this season. And unless Daniels runs for 150 yards, which is possible, I like the Giants a lot. Again, I don't have to be right, but that's one that I feel really good about.
I do like what you said about the other game, about the Raiders keeping it close at the Ravens. Another thing that I want to know how much you consider going into a game like that. Last season, the Ravens did bludgeon a lot of teams at home. The one team, though, that went in there as a pretty sizable underdog, if I remember correctly. It was early in the season. It was the Colts, and they were quarterbacked by Gardner Minshew, who they will see on Sunday in a Raiders uniform. Do you take that into account a whole lot, or do you not like how that transfers from year to year in different teams?
Well, I just think it's a, I mean, you, we're talking like the Stone Ages compared to going to outer space, the offense the Raiders run now, to what Shane Steichen and the Colts were running last year. So, like, not the same offense, obviously. It's less about that for me, and it's not just Baltimore's offensive line. It's also Baltimore's defense, and it's, this is like when I get upset when people say, well, LeBron's not as good as Michael Jordan, and it's taken as an insult. Like, it's not an insult when you say, like, someone's not as good as, like, the best. Like, LeBron can still be great, right? Mm-hmm. So when people say, like, Zach Orr, who's Baltimore's, like, young defensive coordinator, is not as good as Mike McDonald, who's now the head coach of the Seahawks, like, people get upset by that. Well, why can't Zach Orr be great? I don't know. Maybe because Mike McDonald is, like, thought to be, like, the Sean McVay of defense. And is now, like, the head coach of the Seahawks, and everyone in the NFL is now copying, like, what he does defensively. So it's not just the offensive line. I also don't think this defense is as good for the Ravens. Now, they still love John Harbaugh. Lamar is still great. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. Just that, like, I don't think this team is as good as it was last year, maybe by a lot.
Nick, how about some of the other games around the AFC North or involving the AFC North teams? Cleveland, an underdog at Jacksonville, and then Cincinnati, almost a touchdown underdog at Kansas City.
I'm going to try and find the Browns injury report. I don't know if it's out yet for today. This is like kind of like when you do betting content, this stuff really matters on Fridays. I don't think we have an injury report yet for them. The reason why I'm saying that is because yesterday's injury report for Cleveland was an absolute disaster. And if you're out there listening right now and saying, like, why are we talking about the injury report? Just give me the bet. Well, I think once you're done listening to what I'm saying, you'll understand like why it's valuable. So one of the reasons why Cleveland got trucked last weekend by Dallas, not just because Deshaun Watson's brutal, which he is, the Browns offensive line not healthy. Micah Parsons and company absolutely run roughshod over them. We think that the Browns might be getting like two or three offensive linemen back in this game, including both of their starting tackles. But both Myles Garrett, maybe the best defensive player in the league next to T.J. Watt, maybe Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, their top two pass rushers, might not play this weekend. Neither practiced yesterday. So we need to see like what this injury report looks like for Cleveland. I will say, Donnie, if we get like a good injury report, like Myles Garrett's back, even in a limited fashion, Za'Darius Smith, the offensive lineman, if they all play on Sunday and the point spread's like 3 or 3.5, I would only bet on Cleveland, given the number being what it is, even if Deshaun Watson's terrible and an awful person, and we all acknowledge that to be true. As far as the Bengals go against the Chiefs, you know, it's a tough spot for Cincinnati. T. Higgins likely not to play in the game again. He didn't practice again today, didn't play in week 1. But I think people will look at the point spread of the game, right, and see Kansas City 6 with Joe Burrow on the other side, and the Bengals are going to be an attractive bet for that reason. I'm not even saying I disagree. The Chiefs are a lot better than Cincinnati. If the point spread's going to be 6, though, I'll actually take the points with Joe Burrow, and I'll take the risk. Besides for Tom Brady, Burrow, the only person that has slayed the dragon, mm-hmm, Mahomes, in January.
All right, Nick, then we go to the Steelers, a small favorite as they head to Denver, a 425 game on Sunday at Mile High. The total is not high in that game. How do you feel about that one all around?
So last week I came on the show and I picked the Steelers. Loved the Steelers in that game. It was a classic like Mike Tomlin spot.
Mm-hmm.
4 points on the road. No one believes. Backup quarterback. Of course the Steelers were going to win that game. They've won a billion of these games since Mike Tomlin took over as the head coach. I also think that what we have now is like the inverse of that. And Steelers fans will know this. How many times have we seen the Steelers go like on the road in a spot like this as a road favorite and lose? Like, how many times has it happened? Like, I think Steelers fans know that really well, right? Donnie, you agree with that?
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that they're definitely going to lose, but it is worth considering this. This will be the 22nd road start in the career of Justin Fields. This will be the first time he is a favorite on the road. I understand the Steelers are better than the Bears. Like, I get it. I just think there's a tremendous difference between taking 4 points with Justin Fields and laying 2.5 on the road in altitude in the second straight road game to begin the season. So just like a little context on the line. This opened Pittsburgh almost like a 3.5-point favorite. It's been bet down over the course of the week to 2.5 because I feel like a lot of people agree with me. Pittsburgh should not be a 3-point favorite. At 2.5, I don't have a ton of interest in betting Denver. I also don't have a ton of interest in betting the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you made me pick the winner of the game, I would begrudgingly take the Denver Broncos, begrudgingly.
There we go. Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Nick, thanks for taking the time.
You got it. Wishing you and all your listeners minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
There we go. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Few minutes from now, a Bechtold breakdown coming up just around the corner. Did want to react a little bit. Some of the comments there from Nick on the betting lines. The Steelers just -2.5 right now against the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Austin, Nick did not like the Steelers in that matchup. I also did not know, a little bit of an eyebrow raise from me when he said it in real time. I didn't really think about it. I had no idea, though, that Justin Fields has never been a road favorite in his NFL career.
I don't think it surprises me just because of how abysmal the Bears were. I mean, what was this record, 10-28 as the starter of the Bears? So that makes sense. Who would he have been a favorite against? Like Carolina? Arizona? I mean, there's really not that many matchups because of being on the Steelers. If it was the Russell Wilson effect, do you think that plays any factor? If Russell Wilson's starting in this game, revenge, does that mean anything in true reality? I think the Steelers are probably going to win the game, but the 2.5 is difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I know Nick had to get going there, but I mean, I was tempted to ask him if it was Russell Wilson playing the game, how he would have felt about it, if he would feel any different about it. I mean, I just think given a compromised Russell Wilson who probably brings more emotion into the game than he should, like this is his personal Super Bowl. I feel like that would in a way work against what the Steelers want to accomplish because it would be an injured player trying to play some hero ball, and that could get you into some danger.
It is a tough bet. On the road in Denver, let's be real here. The Steelers have not played very well in Denver before. The Tebow game, games against Peyton Manning. I mean, counting down to what? 15 years ago now, maybe, is the last time where the Steelers had like very, very good success with Ben, those early 2010 teams, mid Super Bowl run in 06 or 05. I mean, the Steelers have not, that's not realistically been a good place to play for the Steelers. I think they'll win, but 2.5 is a tough number. And I would bet the Steelers at that number, but not confidently.
So the Steelers, since that playoff game, since that AFC championship game, I should clarify that one where the Steelers went on to win Super Bowl 40.
Right.
They have won just one time in Denver since that happened. It
there
was a Monday night game in 2009. I do remember that when Rashard Mendenhall had a big night. I think Tyrone Carter had a pick six. You remember that guy?
The blaster in the past.
The Steelers won 28-10 in that game. They have lost 31-28. They've lost 29-23 that Tebow game in the playoffs. They've lost 31-19 that opened the season in 2012 against Peyton Manning. They lost 23-16, and then they lost 24-17 the last time they played in Denver. That was 2018. That was the game that stirred up a lot of Ben and AB controversy, the route along the goal line, that whole deal.
It's been 6 years since they played in Denver.
Yes, 2018 was the last time. There was also a fake field goal in that game. Boswell threw a touchdown pass to
Alejandro Villanueva.
Big Al. But yeah, I mean, Denver, not quite to the level of what Oakland was. The Steelers, which they'll never get the chance to again unless the Raiders move back, which who the hell knows, maybe it could happen. They had not won in Oakland, have not won in Oakland since 1995. That's when I was born, Limits. You never got to see it.
No, with Terrell Pryor running all over them in that game on the baseball field. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember all the Sebastian Janikowski game-winning field goals against the Steelers? Games that they had no business losing that they lost. Classic Tomlin game always coming against the Raiders.
There were a lot of Tomlin games. And in a tie to Big Ben, because when there was a Tomlin game, it often meant that Ben had himself a bad game. A lot of those came on the road against the Raiders.
Yeah, so the X-ray machine wasn't working.
That one too, yeah. Boswell slipped trying to kick the game-tying field goal. That was that same game.
Yeah.
Coming up, the Bechtold breakdown in just a few moments. We'll have a Bucko Minute a little bit later. Bob Walk joins us just after 1 o'clock. The Pirates with a series at home this weekend against the Kansas City Royals. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey today. That music means it is time for a Bechtold breakdown. We're going to go around the room, have some fun. And our guy Austin City Limits with a bit of potential breaking news from one of the longest tenured Steelers insiders in all the land to kick us off.
And it comes from our guy Pony, Donnie, on the Bechtold breakdown for Friday. This is an ode to you. This is somewhat of an ode at the very beginning to you in the debrief saying the date. September 13th, 2024. Here we go.
Friday the 13th.
That's right. We have something on Friday the 13th coming up in the breakdown. Pony putting out per Jerry Dulac. Justin Fields. According to sources, the Steelers plan to have Justin Fields start the next two games. Sunday in Denver against the Broncos and the home opener next week against the Chargers, while Russell Wilson continues to rest his injured calf so it doesn't morph into something worse. Donnie, when I see this and I read this, this is just more and more leash that is being given to Justin Fields that if he succeeds over the next 2 weeks, especially if they go 3-0 and he plays well, he's the guy, and Russell Wilson's watching from the sideline.
And all in all, this is a good thing. This is something, and you know, nothing against Russell Wilson, and you know, I do hope that the calf is not something serious or turns into something worse, because sometimes a calf injury can lead to an Achilles injury, which is much, much worse. But this would be, or potentially be, a very good thing for the Steelers and anyone who follows the team, covers the team, whatever it may be, especially for people like us, Austin. If Justin Fields takes over this job, has a good season, the Steelers quarterback issue, at least for now, at least for the foreseeable future, is cured.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about year after year, oh, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? We had the Mitch Trubisky years. We had the Kenny Pickett years. Mason Rudolph coming in to save the season last year. Russell Wilson, he's really just a stopgap. They do have potential because Justin Fields is only 24 years old. They have potential to have their guy for the next 5 to 10 years. And yeah, it's a what have you done for me lately type business. That is a good feeling to have. This could fall into end up being a great thing that pays big time dividends for the Steelers if Fields can get off to a nice start. I've already felt this way, that I think it is his job to lose. This does nothing more than cement that.
Yeah,
for me.
He's 1 year older than me. They're just hand over the keys. Let's ride.
I think he's only 9 months younger than Bo Nix.
Yes.
It feels like Fields has been in the league for like 5 years.
Let's ride. Maybe not the correct conversation and topic to be said with Russell Wilson engaged in it. I've been, I think, one of the main leaders on the station of wanting Justin Fields to be the quarterback from the start. When they traded for Fields and signed Wilson a week before, I was bummed when they signed Wilson that they weren't going to get Fields. Then they got him. Again, he's not polished. He's not a finished product. There's no denying that. Are there things that we wanted to see in the Atlanta game that he did not do? Yes. Part of that is also Arthur Smith taking the reins off a little bit and kind of letting Justin Fields cook. If this is the case and you give him the home opener, it's a little bit longer of a sample size to prove he could be the guy next year, because clearly, one, Wilson's not healthy, and two, Fields gives a different dynamic for this team than Wilson. I don't want to continue to bang that drum. But Fields, man, I mean, he's a former top pick for a reason. Great athlete. Mike Tomlin clearly likes him. He could answer a lot of questions. So I like this. I like that this potentially could happen.
I think Mike Tomlin loves him. I mean, there was even some thought if the Steelers had the, like, you remember this story being put out there? If the Steelers actually did have the first overall pick in that draft that was Trevor Lawrence at the time, they would have considered taking Justin Fields.
Yeah, Joe likes,
that
Joe
being
likes
put out
to
there?
Talk about that. He talked about that this week. So that is high praise because I think Trevor Lawrence is great. But if they can unlock Justin Fields and they can find something in the magical box of Arthur Smith's offense to make this work, they could have a find on their hands. Donnie, the Steelers and Pirates came out with what I like to call my 2024 Mona Lisa yesterday. It is a picture of TJ Watt and Paul Skeens side by side doing a jersey swap. The jersey that Skeens gave to TJ Watt isn't signed. I saw the video. It was signed after they took the picture. I don't know why I didn't sign it beforehand. The portion of TJ Watt signing it is just, "Paul, love watching you. Go be great." And then he was meeting, Paul Skeens was, with the Steelers. And Russell Wilson came over, need to get a picture. Cam Hayward was saying, "I need to get a Paul Skeens jersey." TJ Watt and Paul Skeens, dynamic duo wise, is this one of the best in any city football, baseball combination? Add in Sid. I mean, the types of athletes that we have in their prime at the top of their game and the tops of their sports is pretty one of a kind. Not one of a kind, but it's pretty unique to Pittsburgh.
So it was pretty strong. I mean, think when it was Ben, Crosby. See, the Pirates didn't really have anybody until Kutch in our lifetime to take over that mantle. So it was more like into the, you know, into the 2010s, when, of course, you know, Ben was playing at maybe his best once he got into his 30s. Crosby has always been a great player. He had, you know, the concussion issues early in the 2010s, but he has rebounded in a huge way. Like, I always think back to, I don't know what publication it was, but it's the picture of a, really both in their rookie years, Ben and Crosby next to each other. That's like a special one. This is kind of the new era of that, maybe, because the Penguins don't really have a new stud to put in that team picture, whereas the Pirates do. The Pirates have a guy who may be in the lead in terms of stardom in the entire city. The Steelers have somebody like TJ Watt, who perennially is one of the best defensive players in all of football, one of the best overall players in all of football. Yeah, that is a big one. And then if you do add an elder Sidney Crosby to the mix, that does make it pretty strong. But, I mean, just think off the top of your head some of the other cities. I mean, we can just go around maybe with the AFC North at least. I mean, I do think Baltimore, you have Lamar Jackson, and then the Orioles have a few
Gunnar
different
Henderson.
Guys you can pick from. Cleveland,
Myles Garrett and Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, you're talking.
Well, I mean, they still have Donovan Mitchell, too, don't they? Or did he go somewhere else?
Yeah, they do.
So, I mean, maybe you could throw him in there for hoops.
Cincinnati, you're talking Joe Burrow and Ellie De La Cruz, I guess. That's not as good as what the Pirates have.
Yeah.
And the Steelers in that Pittsburgh combination. Baltimore, I think, maybe beats them because of how good Gunnar Henderson is.
Yeah, I mean, Henderson looks like a guy who could win MVP. Jackson has already won two MVPs. I mean, here is something that we can put into the cap of what Pittsburgh has. Watt has won a Defensive Player of the Year award.
Should have won two.
Almost impossible for a defensive player now to win MVP, so that's just kind of, you know, that is just the defensive MVP. Skeens does look like a dude that may not collect Rookie of the Year. I don't like how those odds are skewed. I think Merrill's like a big favorite now.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
In that regard, then, but it's a slippery slope.
But I think the dude is in line to maybe win a Cy Young. Maybe
one
two.
One day, yes.
Yeah, and hopefully it's in a Pirates uniform.
I think he will. Not to put a pony prediction on it, but I think maybe not two, but he definitely will get
one.
Well,
I mean, I also predicted that Skeens would start and win the next Pirates playoff game. Hopefully that's next year limits.
I think that's...
But I feel like we say that a lot.
Yeah. T. Higgins is doubtful to play this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase will go into Kansas City with an offensive line that's... Zach Moss is their running back. And they lost to New England last week. Not looking very good for the men in stripes, with the Bengal Tiger stripes for the Bengals.
Yeah, so they will get a little bit of a reprieve after this game. They will get to play Washington at home. Then they go to Carolina I would be pretty stunned if Cincy doesn't get right back to a 2-2 record. In that case, big matchup in week five. They do play Baltimore. Then they go to play the Giants. So that should be a game that you kind of circle as a win. They struggle against the Browns, though. So even for as bad as Deshaun Watson looks, that game in week seven, who knows what things could look like there. But they do have a little bit of an easier schedule than what the rest of the AFC North has to work with because they finished in last place last season. So they get to play some of those last place teams, Washington, Carolina, Vegas is in there, Tennessee in there late in the season. Who knows what they could look like?
None of those teams are good.
Yeah, Denver by the end of the year, who knows what that could look like? And, you know, if the whole Watson thing blows up in Cleveland, who knows what the Browns could look like? It is going to be a slow start and certainly look that way for Cincinnati. I picked them to win the AFC North narrowly over Baltimore. I think they can still do that. They may get beat up this weekend. Who knows? Burrow has been. He is the only active quarterback to take down Patrick Mahomes when it matters most. The only other guy to do so was Tom Brady. They will get their legs under them, though, a little bit because they're going to get Washington and Carolina back-to-back. Those two, I mean, Washington does have Jaden Daniels. They can be exciting. Washington stinks. They might get the first overall pick again.
I don't know about that. Jaden Daniels is going to win them a couple games.
No, I mean Carolina.
Oh, Carolina.
Yeah, sorry.
Stargell and Terry Bradshaw on the cover of Sports Illustrated is definitely the best picture that you can frame and put in your basement.
I have that framed in my garage at home.
Last one quickly. Achilles tendonitis is what Christian McCaffrey is battling. This does not look good for San Francisco right now. They want to play the long game. Is it the Russell Wilson type of game that the Steelers are playing right now? Obviously different situations and different types of players. But Christian McCaffrey, this seems like something that you could be concerned with the entirety of the season, that it could affect him.
Yeah, now the nice thing for San Francisco is that they have so many weapons on offense. This won't hurt them as much as it did in the past. Like last year, I think, for example, we saw some games where they didn't have McCaffrey quite at 100% or he didn't play, and Purdy was still in the, I would say, the growing pains part of his game where he was turning into a good player, and he is a good player. He's a much better player than he's ever gotten credit for. But they made it look pretty easy against the Jets last week, and we know people have high hopes for the Jets. The Jets have a good defense, objectively good defense. They made it look easy. They plugged Jordan Mason in there, who, by the way, I know the PM team got whooped in the first week of our Odyssey Fantasy Football League. We have Jordan Mason on that roster, baby.
For how long?
I think he'll be sliding right in there.
Yeah, what was the approach on that team to not take any running backs until like the ninth round?
Yeah, we kind of went with like the no running backs method or whatever people call it now. Like just load up at receiver and tight end and just go.
Kind of an odd method when, you know, two of those are your starters.
But
at running back,
Mason could end up paying pretty big dividends. That they plugged that dude in and he looked like he's been in the lineup for 5 years. So they have that. I mean, Ayuk did not play a good game. Debo was used all over the place per usual.
Yeah, nice grab by Brandon Ayuk in the end zone there, diving for a ball.
He got across the goal line, but he didn't catch the football limits.
It's part of the game, Donnie. When you're a wide receiver, you're supposed to receive the football.
But yeah, the McCaffrey thing could end up being big. However, I think until it gets to, you know, if it's something that happens all the way through the rest of the season, then it could be trouble. But I think for now, at least, the 49ers are going to be okay. They have too many options.
Yeah, they'll be fine. And they got Brock Purdy throwing the ball with Kyle Shanahan as his coordinator to one of the best tight ends in football, one of the best gadget guys in all of football, and a guy that just paid $30 million for the defense that's probably the best in all of football. So the surroundings are obviously ideal.
Anything else, Limits?
The Bechtel Breakdown for this Friday the 13th. Your final thoughts on Friday the 13th? Donnie, any good memories? I know scary movies is kind of Doran Dickerson's forte.
Well, see, I do like horror movies as well. Doran and I, actually, this goes back probably to like 2019, maybe even 2020, like pandemic era. when Doran was just hosting solo on weekends every now and then, and I was working a lot of weekends producing, we got into a lot of those conversations. He had Tony Todd on the show one time, who was in The Candyman. I know they brought that back a few years ago. That was obviously big in the 90s. Tony Todd was in the remake of Night of the Living Dead as well. Are you into to those?
No. I'm not a scary movie guy. You kind of guessed that. Like, when those commercials come on TV, sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I'll turn the channel right now.
I love them.
When you see, here comes the new Conjuring movie trailer on TV.
Those are good. Insidious. Like, they did have a good run in the 2010s of some pretty good horror movies. But, I mean, you go back to, like, the OGs, Friday the 13th, Halloween with Big Michael Myers.
Yeah.
You know, we got the movie Freddy versus Jason about 20 years ago. We never got that Michael Myers versus Jason Voorhees matchup that we all wanted. I mean, those are two big fellas going at it. We need it.
I do like Stranger Things, but is that considered a horror movie or a horror TV show?
See, I never watched the show. I've been recommended to watch it so many times because people also said, me being somebody that loves, like, 80s pop music, I would love it.
Yeah, you would. And the writing is very good on that show.
Yeah. So
Even though it takes them like 5 years to put out a new season.
So maybe that's a show I'll get into down the road. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey. This show really does go fast.
It does. Limits.
I mean, I've done this a few times. You know, I've done shows with Joe as well. It is wild to me, like, we're already down to our last hour. I mean, really, really less than that when you think about it. Bob Walk will join us in a few moments as well. A little Bucko minute here. Pirates open up a series with the Royals at PNC Park this weekend. Here is one thing I wanted to touch on, just in case anybody going down to the North Shore tomorrow forgets that traffic and parking may be a real issue for some folks down there. The Pirates and Royals get underway at 1:05 at PNC Park. Could be a quick game. It could help out. However, there will be tailgating involved for the big football game that is taking place at Acrisure Stadium at 3:30, so that crowd will definitely cross over. Pitt and West Virginia kicks off at 3:30 with the Pirates and Royals at 1:05. Austin, we've had this conversation before, but have you ever tried to navigate something like this where the games are happening very close to, if not at the same time? We could be in for a quick Pirate game. I mean, the pitch clock has certainly helped with the pace of play in baseball, but there's going to be a lot of crossover on the North Shore tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like the Pittsburgh Sports Equinox minus the Penguins a little bit with the Steelers on Sunday and Pitt, West Virginia. Yeah, I have a couple of times where I've done the double dip of the Pirates and then the Steelers. Typically, it's a Pirate regular season game and then a Steeler preseason game, at least what I've embarked on, or calling a W&J game and then covering a West Virginia football game against Pitt last year. It is brutal on the North Shore. I think most of the lots are already sold out, if I'm correct about that, like a lot around the stadium. And if you're park downtown is my recommendation. The North Shore is going to be popping tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun, but especially because the game times are so close. I mean, typically when this is the case, you go to the Pirate game at 1, you go to the Steeler game at 8, or maybe it's vice versa, and the Pirate game's at night, and the Steeler game is during the day. This is 1 o'clock Pirates, 3:30 Pitt. It's going to be madness if you're getting down there for the brawl. Maybe it's going to be tough regardless.
It helps out a little bit in this case for people going tomorrow, specifically for people going down for the football game. It does help a little bit that the Pirates have fallen out of things.
Yeah, I was thinking that,
and
yeah.
It's not going to be Paul Skene starting tomorrow, so it does bring a little bit of a reprieve. But think if they were still in the heat of this race, and let's say it was a Paul Skene's game and the Pirates are only a couple of games out of a wild card spot, that would have been really tough because you're talking a game that should have 30 to 40,000 people in the Pirate game, and then you're going to have a football game that has over 60.
And when they changed the time, Donnie, of this game, of the Pirate game, because it was supposed to be, I think, a 6:40 first pitch, That was the impression that we were under, that the Pirates, because at that time they were still in contention. Skeens was humming along. I was at last Saturday's game, and there were not a lot of people there. It was a pretty empty ballpark. I don't know what the exact attendance number was, but it was not a regular Saturday game that the Pirates typically draw a lot of people for.
Yeah, and that was part of that doubleheader, and I know we were coming back from a college game that we did together, and then you went off to the Bucco game with a few friends after that, and I remember you mentioning that there were not many people in the park that night. So it is a little bit of a weight off the shoulders of people if they're going tomorrow, because probably not going to be a huge crowd at PNC for that game, but regardless, it's crazy down there as is when it's a big game of any sort. There's going to be at least, I don't know, I mean, into the five figures you think for what the attendance will be for the Pirates. It might be on that low end, but you're talking almost 70,000 people for that football game. And also take into account the people that go down to tailgate, don't go into the game.
I want to know what that number is.
I'm always curious, too. I mean, the guys asked me a couple days ago how many of my friends do that for Steeler games, because I obviously go into a lot of the games as a fan. But there are certainly a lot of guys that will come down for the tailgate and just go to usually the casino or somewhere else to watch it. Like, there absolutely is a crowd for that. And I bet it's, I mean, think about how many people are down there. I bet it's 10,000-plus people that decide to do that stuff.
Just do that. Like, that just doesn't even pop into my mind to do that.
Right, but, like, think of when those games happen. If you're ever at McFadden's or you're ever at Tequila Cowboy or at the casino or any of those other spots down there for a Steelers home game, think about how packed those places are. Those people probably all went down to tailgate and just went to the bar. So it could get a little bit congested and gridlocked down there tomorrow if you're heading down to either one or both of those games.